name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Shining down on me when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Of your great name. Likes our music. I think he likes apostolic music. Jeremiah said one time in the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God can draw a life way over there to way over here. And this morning I woke up, and I expect to wake up most mornings. I expect to. I do. When I don't, then I might be concerned. But I expect to wake up and I see my wife at the table. She's having her time with the Lord every morning. Not some mornings. Every morning. That's a good thing. When your wife is sitting at a table seeking the Lord every morning, I'm blessed. You know why she does that? Because she's got me. But God is good. He's given me a good wife, and I love and appreciate her. You know, worship is it's an entry point to the presence and the power of God. Worship opens the door to where God is. The music can help. The prayers definitely help. Our commitment, our love. And I expected to see you all here this morning, each and every one of you. I expected to see my pastor, but he's off doing something else. But God bless him, and Sister Wells also. But I expect most of all for God to show up. You know, when we agree on things, my wife and I were just agreeing yesterday or this morning on how we're going to remodel the closet. It doesn't take a lot of thought, but it does. Matthew said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Tom spoke about the kingdom this morning. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He said later on in the same chapter, he said, again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done unto you for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in his name, my name, God's name, not mine, there shall I be in the midst. Like I said, worship is an entry point to where the presence of God is. It depends on your worship and our worship unto the Lord to get into his presence this morning. Let's have some good church.
Praise the Lord. If the ushers would go ahead and come on down, we'll do the offering now. Brother Mike, if you would pray for the offering.
Being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. We saw the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. Servants, David, building a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, as the trumpet calls, so lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, so lift your voice, it's the year. God like Jehovah. There's no 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 God like Jehovah. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Trumpet call, so lift your voice, it is the year of Jubilee. How does Zion's Hill salvation come?
Praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord.
Lift our hands and give Him a good praise this morning.
No God like Jehovah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Lord, we understand Your greatness. And there is none like You, none that it can even compare. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Sister Julie, it's good to see you here today. I'd like for you to stand and testify.
Yes.
Amen. It's always good to have somebody come and visit you, and then about 4 o'clock in the morning, the ice maker starts kicking out more ice. Amen. Yeah.
Might as well stay a while Amen. Longer.
Praise the Lord. Great times of fellowship and fun together. And, that's when I was a kid. I'm not sure I could do that anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Be like Brother Mooney here, not find my notes. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Everybody ready? Amen. I'm not. Let's stand one more time as we look to the word of the Lord and pray for Brother Davis that this is going to probably, being familiar with all the sermons I preach, this is probably going to be one a little bit different than them. But we are in need of great revival.
Yes.
You know, the persistence that we have in living for God, when we have to endure things. Some of the world has it very easy. Some of the Christian world today has it very easy because so many people that sit on pews do not extend their lives to where they pour their life into the church. Pretty much a one-hour Sunday morning service and don't ask for any more. And, you know, we're just, there's words in the Bible that I don't like. You know, like endurance, or like persecution, or like us having to suffer. But they're all part of the way, and we know that in our future, matter of fact, whether that is near or far, that there will come times. The Bible says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, anybody know? Anybody finish that? Suffer persecution. You're doing it kind of quiet out there. You need to get a mic out there like I have up here. Amen. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. And I think that's an operative word there to know that it's just supposed to happen somewhere in your life that you go through some rough times. Amen. And other people are going to go through rough times around about you. And it's important for us as a church to make sure that our brothers, our sisters, amen, even ourselves, that we are ready to receive and ready to give all the help that one another needs. Amen. So, Brother Davis, I don't know if it's like that around here or not, and I'm just saying this as an example. You know, if it's not that way, then make it that way. Even if you're just one, it has to start somewhere. Amen. In our devotion to God. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8. Drop down to verse 18, and it says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thoughts of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.' And then Simon answered and says, 'Pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things come upon me.'" Praise the Lord. You may be seated. In this portion of Scripture, matter of fact, there will always be, in churches, people that would probably look upon myself as well as you, you know, to judge us, which really the Scripture tells us not to do, you know, and I know you want to obey the Scriptures, and we're in a time to where if there's ever a time that we really needed to believe the Word of God is today, and that's one of the things that God tells us, amen, that we need to take care of and be in ourselves. Revival is a great thing. Matter of fact, we're just going to go through this little revival scriptures here in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 8, amen, and Brother Davis is going to bring out some points as we read along, but I find this story a little bit different. Amen. In the fact that we have to deal with a guy that was called a magician and a guy that was called maybe somebody that was a showboat or wanted to push himself in life. And yet, who are we to judge? You know, we all come from different backgrounds. And, you know, we might have different interests. And what seems to be lacking in the story that a lot of people today have a hard time kind of defending. I even preached a sermon one time where I defended Judas many years ago. And I feel like that I need to preach a sermon today to maybe defend this guy that is called Simon. And I know he wasn't perfect, but his imperfection in this scripture shows up in a way that it ought to seem, you know, something like a magician would do. Not in its rightness. I mean, but we've been in services where people got up to testify and said a swear word. Maybe you haven't, but I have. And you have to realize they just come out of the world. You know, they don't understand that we don't use that term. And I'm not talking about filthy language, but I'm talking about maybe some slangs that we have that we know better than to say. We've already probably overcome a lot of those temptations of words, but they would just stand up and say something And you know, you're thinking, did that come out of them? And it probably doesn't happen in church as much as it would be in their homes or things like that. But we've actually seen that to where we were. We could be very harsh in judgment. I remember one time we had a young man that was coming to the altar, and he was just in his teens. And, you know, would come and really pour out his heart. Every time he would come to church, he would pretty much come to the altar. And, you know, after about 15 times that had happened, somebody come up and say to me, "Brother Davis, I'm just done with him. You know, I'm not going to pray for him anymore because I don't think he's serious about it." And I said, out loud, but within myself, "Well, who are you really to judge?" And I know by example you can form that opinion, but it's not your job to form that opinion. And it's not really my job, but it's to look upon this person, because one thing I know, however many times that young man would have come to church, God would have been willing. Maybe he wasn't, but God was willing. Amen. He does not rejoice in the death of a wicked person. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to feel and to have the full benefits of what we call the church. Amen. That should really take care of a lot of the anxieties, as I've heard before today. Amen. About coming to the place to where we can live for God and not sit around and say, well, you know, he doesn't come all the time. You know, he's just the wrong person. And then we think, well, you know, before long, like I said, are we considering where they come from? Because one thing about revival, one thing about church growth that I hear a lot of times when you know, I would go to conferences, and because of the times and some of those things, God realizes and wants us to be ready that you cannot control what people come in to the doors of your church. And whether they be backsliders or whether they be Christians or whether they be somebody just out in the world, if they be somebody of a behavior that we would not really smile upon in any way, form, or fashion, I don't know. But when revival breaks out, amen, all kinds of things happen. Amen. People get the Holy Ghost, and we're on fire, and you're at work, and you're on fire, and somebody at work says, I'd like to go see that and hear that and experience that. And so they come, and, you know, they're coming out of a totally different background that I came out of. And many of you that are here today, amen, did not come out of that type of background. Some of you have. And an encouraging word is sure feels great, amen, when you're trying to work your way into a body of people. Amen. And you hear somebody or somebody comes along and helps encourage you and strengthen you in whatever way it is. Philip was not an apostle. Philip was just a usher, so to speak, an elder in one place. Amen. But yet when Paul was breathing out threatenings against the church that we read in the first few verses of this chapter, amen, people began to exile themselves and go into other towns and countries and Samarias where Philip probably felt like, I'm going to go. There's a number of people that are headed in that direction. And so Philip comes, and he comes to the city of Samaria, and the scripture says that he preached unto them, or preached Christ unto them. That is the beginning of revival, that focus has to be upon Jesus Christ. Amen. He is why we are here. Amen. That is the ultimate reason that we might know him, that we might feel him, that he might speak to us, that we might be able to speak to him. And God bless a service because of that. And in the course of things, revival breaks out. Samaria was not a very godly country or city. Amen. But Philip preaches Jesus, and maybe even to his surprise, the Bible says that the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Well, God did them, we know that. Amen. But Philip was the right man in the right place. He was going to exercise that. Amen. It says, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken in palsy and were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So we know that revival is a time, Brother Davis has said this already, to where we attract a host of followers or a host of people that want to come this way. It doesn't take an apostle, a high official, amen, to bring us revival. That's not what the book of Acts was all about. Amen. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then after hearing the word of God, amen, we heed those things and become obedient to those things and not make all kinds of reasons why we don't have to forgive a brother, or I don't like that particular individual. Amen. That all needs to get out of your mind and your heart and your church. Amen. If God is going to bless us with revival. Amen. Let's everybody say praise the Lord. And the ultimate thing about revival, and I think this is really the good thing, it says, and the whole city. There was great joy in that city. Amen. It wasn't just in the church and amongst the church, but it was a citywide revival. I know some of you heard Brother Davis talk about this not long ago. There's a building standing just around the corner. You go to Railroad Street, you turn right, and you get down to the end of those buildings, and in that last building in 1897, amen, a guy came into Sandwich, and Sandwich was a pretty large town at that time, and he starts a revival. And in that revival, God begins to bless people, not just in a church. It happened in a place there. They were having an outdoor meeting, and so many people came around. They put up this makeshift building, amen, and it's still standing today. What's that? Last week it did? Well, I'm going to have to get them on that one. I guess I don't go down that street enough to notice. I know they tore down some things, but I didn't know they tore down that particular building. But anyway, when that happened, revival broke out. There were two grocery stores in town. And instead of complaining or wanting to, one of them decided, well, I tell you what happened. You and your people go to church on Monday, and we'd go on Tuesday, and you'll be free, and we'll all have gas station owners. Family feuds that were going on in town, amen, were restored. Those families were restored and came in, back in friendship with each other. And see, amazing things happen because there has to be a positive influence, amen, in a church of joy, amen. Something that Peter says, that we have a joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory, amen. If anybody is able to go out and really expose to the world what a church is all about, it ought to be about the joy we have and the joy that God has given us and the joy, not in the Holy Ghost yet. This is just something with joy, and I like it because in reality that when you get to the part of the Holy Ghost, I need to cover this here because I forget it later. Amen. This Holy Ghost needs to come to us by an act of joy. The Bible says with joy we draw out of the wells of salvation. Amen. We don't have the water yet, but with joy we draw. When you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, you might not have the Holy Ghost yet, but you need to pull that out and kind of try to bring it to you with a spirit of joy, amen, and then he will give you that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And so it's with joy we draw from the wells of Yeshua or Jehovah. Hallelujah. And so, the Bible says, and let's drop down to verse 14 in this scripture text that we're at, Acts 8. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now these people had already, you know, kind of received the Lord in a way to where they've repented and God is working in their lives, and they were being baptized and things were happening. And so the news gets out, and news gets out about revival. And it went to Jerusalem, and they became concerned because, you know, there are people today that will tell you as soon as you believe, you've got the Holy Ghost. And if you don't get it then, if you believe and have been baptized, then you're going to have the Holy Ghost. And neither one of those are correct. Because here's people that had both. They were believers. They had been baptized. But the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen upon any of them. Listen to the words. And when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, and they sent them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet it was fallen upon none of them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. I need to go back up here. Hopefully I can find this very quickly. Verse 12 and 13. It says, but when they believed Philip's preaching concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And he continued with Philip, and Simon himself, amen, also believed and was baptized. And he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that he has done. But we know that this man that was given to us, we've read in the previous scriptures that are there. I think Brother Davis maybe skipped over them a while ago. But the people gave heed to these miracles and spirits crying out. And Simon kind of comes to the place to where he is ready to go before. Now notice it says in verse 9, a couple things I left here getting too fast for myself. It says, But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time of the same city used sorcery, bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself to be someone great or a great one, and to whom also he gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying that this man was a great man of power. For they had regarded him, or had him they regard, because of a long time that he had bewitched them with sorceries, just using magic. And Simon comes into this atmosphere of revival and decides, I believe that. Now, the critics of this man, many people are going to say, there are also people out there that believe that you don't believe in this, and that's all you need. And so anyway, Simon had come to the place to where he believed, and he also got baptized, and I'm sure that as strong a preacher that anyone that's ever filled this pulpit, that Philip was able to convey the message, amen, of the importance of Christ and what Jesus Christ does in your life. And you don't come to a fullness of revelation in Jesus Christ until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is something that we pursue. The Holy Ghost is something we believe in. The Holy Ghost is what has made us happy. Amen. One of the first things that I see, did they get the Holy Ghost? I saw a big old smile. Amen. And they were looking like I never seen them look before and sounding like I never heard them sound before. But there was something about revival that produces people that are the preaching of the word, they hear the word, they take heed of the word, they do the word, they don't ask questions like, do I really have to be baptized? Do I really need the Holy Ghost? Amen. If you read your Bible, folks, I want to tell you something. You have to do them both. Hallelujah. That's okay. Come on. And so when these people, now Simon had interest in miracles. And, you know, that was kind of in his forte. I wouldn't expect Brother Bill to be like this, but if somebody came in and had a little loose ends that needed to be tightened up a little bit and dealt with and talked to, I would expect somebody that was in his and he is actually the scripture says he was self-proclaimed. He almost became famous because he was promoting himself. I still don't know how Houdini got those oranges, live oranges, off of that plant. Got that theory? Have you ever heard of that? That was one of his big tricks. He just had a peach tree or an orange tree that was sitting in front of people, and then the next thing you know, live oranges start popping. And then he has this person go and take them to the audience, and before he sends them out, he has, and through the process of time, it goes from just a little plant that grows, amen, in the time, then oranges come upon it, and the oranges are ripe, and evidently they taste good because everybody that drank of them really enjoyed the oranges, or ate those oranges, enjoyed them. Amen. So we read that when the apostles that were at Jerusalem, they send these men down, and Simon saw, verse 18, through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. Magicians spend money, usually on their trickery. They ask questions like we would ask somebody. I remember when Brother Detweiler was here, somebody says, how did you do that? He says, very good. And they would always have an answer like that that would defer the question. Because he knew, and even we know, there is some real trickery around here when usually it comes to magic. Matter of fact, I don't even believe there is a such thing as true magic. And he was a sorcerer. In this place, it has a little different meaning, but it also means that he was a magician. And that he went around in such a way, and so he just thinks, this is so good, and people are so happy, amen, and I'm happy, and this is so powerful. And yet when they've been baptized and had the Spirit about him, amen, when Peter comes and lays hands upon he and John, these people, he sees, no matter how good the believing was, and no matter how good the baptism was, amen, this Holy Ghost thing has to be the ultimate thing in life. And I tell you what, folks, I'll give you money if you give me the power to lay my hands upon people, amen, and get that smile upon their face, amen, feel the power that's in their lives that I feel upon your hands being laid upon them. And now I want that gift to add, amen, to my little collection of magic. But this isn't about fooling people, and I'm not even sure that I'm saying that Simon was totally amiss on this. Now, I could not find one person in books, whether it's Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, or, you know, Matthew Henry, or, you know, some of these old writers of concordances and have opinions written, amen, in some places. I couldn't find anybody that would stand and say he was just a new convert. And he was a magician. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he was hanging with him. Like everything good, I want to be a witness. And that next thing you know, you get these intruders that come with this new package, amen, and it's called the Holy Ghost, amen, and all of a sudden, it's like he goes back and he reverts back and says, this is so good, I'd like to have that. And he offers money for it. Peter does not take it as a joke. And I don't believe it was. Amen. But yet he had to do something. But when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands the Holy Ghost was given, he said, "Give me money. I offered them money, saying, give me this power that whosoever lay hands upon thee would receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto them, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that God, or the gift of God, may be purchased with money. Now Philip knew. He has actually said this one time. Silver and gold have I none. But to that lame person that lay outside the gate, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. He knew that it wasn't about money. It wasn't about you giving anything. It was about you receiving this gift that God has for everybody. Amen. And that when this man hears that, he knows that Philip says, wait a minute, you're all wrong. Peter says, you're all wrong, excuse me. Amen. You thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. There's nothing that can buy it. Except maybe your love for him and your faith to be willing to do what he would have you to do. And Peter says, it sounds serious. But Peter said unto them, verse 20, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part or lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. There's still something amiss. There's still something not aligned right. I don't know that he received the Holy Ghost or even wanted to. Somebody must have beat him to it, and he thought, this is so awesome, I want to buy that. And it's not about buying it. It's about believing it. It's about worshiping in it. It's about asking God for it. It's about believing it with all your heart. Amen. The day I got the Holy Ghost was the day after I first repented. Amen. Or excuse me, 2 days later, because I had repented one night, got baptized the next night, received the Holy Ghost next night. All I did that day, amen, I remember I was at work, and everything that I did, if I hit my knuckles, if I drank a Coke, if I was going to eat my meal, I said, I just want the Holy Ghost tonight. I just want, everything reminded me, I need the Holy Ghost tonight. And guess what? Sister Julie, I got it in 3 days. Amen. Connie got it in one, so she got us both beat. Amen. And there's just something about the Holy Ghost wants to fill your life. That is, actually, the Holy Ghost is the life and the Spirit of Jesus Christ that comes into our hearts today. Amen. And it's good to preach Jesus. But somewhere along the line, the Holy Ghost, which we know is Christ in you, the hope of glory, amen, takes over your body and your spirit and fills you with good things. Amen. And there's no way that Simon thought this was a cool thing. And I mean, in that I want to do it my way. I just buy it with money. I don't have to do anything else. Just buy it with money. I don't feel like praying anymore. I don't want to do that. Don't know if those were his feelings, but there was something that was there. And Peter uses this word just to reprimand him. Now, like I said, the critics would say he was never a part of them. But the Bible says, amen, that he was with them before time, back in verse 9. And then it also tells us that he was one that believed, and that he was one that was baptized, and that he was the one following Philip. Amen. I see a lot of people come to church, and there's something that really needs to be dealt with. Amen. They're worshiping, they're pleasing God. Amen. But they need a message, and Peter comes along, and he uses this word, repent. How many of you ever heard of that? Repentance is a good word. If you're a sinner, it might make you feel like you've been a little guilty. But you probably egged that on already by being guilty and never had repented. And that's why it struck a note with you. And this struck a note, amen, with Simon. And then Peter speaks to him and tells him, repent therefore this day of thy wickedness. Can you imagine him in our world today? You tell somebody in a church service today that they're wicked, and they would be all over you. There would be a lawsuit. They would hate you and say, I'm never coming back. Amen. You just don't tell people that are wicked that they're wicked. You can maybe just say you're no good or something like that. But he tells that to him. You know, you got to repent of this wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thy heart might be forgiven thee. Repentance. Amen. In our heart, and the full of that is something that's always there. But he said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. You've been poisoned. He didn't call him a devil. You're in a bond of iniquity, which is lawlessness. There's something in you that has enjoyed this, and you know it's real, and you partook of it. To try to get away. And so you think, I just buy it. And it was wrong, because that's how he ran the rest of his life before he ever heard of Christ or sat in this revival and saw people that were full of joy and the products of the Holy Ghost being amongst them. I'll tell you what we need to get back. We need to get back in our lives, amen, a restoration of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, amen, so that when we come to the house of God, we feel his presence. We know he's real. There's no doubt about it. Amen. Philip was almost saying, you name it, I'll pay for it. But that's not the way it's done. You'll never get it that way. You're never going to get it your own way. You're going to have to get it how God chooses for you to get it. Hallelujah. Poor Sister Atkins, I love the story. If I ever get out and go all over the country, I'll probably preach it all over the country. This dignified lady told somebody, you'll never see me doing that. Now, we are called holy rollers. Amen. Just rolling a little bit. But this young lady just says, you know, you'll never see me do that. All that happened was is the Spirit of the Lord came upon her one night, and she was under two or three of these pews. Amen. Not standing up dancing, but underneath the pews. Dignified. Doris Atkins. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost, because that's what it took for God to get her on the right path. I want to show her how this thing really works. It's not in your control. Amen. It's Christ in you. Amen. That when he comes in and fills you, amen, that he's able to speak things and do things in you that you thought would have never been possible. Amen. But they are now, because you are filled with the Spirit. But this Simon, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Simon, you're a different breed here. But all I can say is, repent, and perhaps the thought of your heart will be forgiven thee. For I perceive these things about you. And then Simon answered and says, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things that you have spoken would come upon me. That is the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Now I want to tell you something. If a preacher would tell me that, I would do the same thing. Amen. Would you pray for me? I don't want that to happen to me. Sometimes our intensity will come by the fears of those things that would come around us. Amen. We're living in end times. We're living in the day that the Spirit of God has been promised that He would pour out upon all flesh in the last days. Amen. And that people would have spiritual gifts in the last days. You can't get closer to the last days, amen, than what we are today. And it will be tomorrow, however long that God remains from coming back. But we do know this, that when He comes, amen, His Spirit will quicken us. Amen. And our mortal bodies will be quickened by that Spirit that dwells within us. And we're going to be called up to meet Him. Why, Brother Davis? Because that's the life-giving. That's the power. Amen. That's the fuel that will take us from these earthly bonds all the way to heaven. And so that is where it ends. Simon answered and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Every now and then you can pick up a book and start reading a novel, or sit down and watch a movie, and you'll watch it all the way to the end. And you end in a question. We went through all of that, and we don't know if He came back. We don't know if they got married. We don't know if he died at war. You know, it just kind of leaves it there for you to draw that conclusion. They say some of those movies were happening and books were written because they couldn't come up with an end. So they came up with two or three of them. And even that, they couldn't really figure out how it was. You ever wonder, did that rich young ruler ever come back? That walked away sad because he had many possessions? Amen. There are some that will tell us, and history books would even say this, that rich young ruler was a man named. We only knew him as a rich young ruler, and I know that Philip Keller, and a history book that I have at home on this man's life, and I've heard a number of the preachers make mention of it, amen, that rich young ruler left, and that to all, a lot of people was the end of the story. But it's not the end of the story. It's never the end of the story until you're down at the end of your life. A lot of people are afraid of the rapture. I'm just afraid of dying now. Not really. Just a joke. I want to die today. Joke. But when it comes down to your life, every now and then, God has to put something in front of you that says, I'm not going to show you anymore. It doesn't say he repented, but it didn't say that he didn't. Amen. It said that other people left, and it doesn't say that he didn't remain in that spirit of revival. Or Brother Davis, if you read these men today, and they criticize this guy, and not one person would even give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to tell you one of the biggest problems that we have, amen, that people are afraid that somebody's going to be judgmental, amen, of what they're doing and how they look and how they sing and what they have to say. But it's not about that, that God wants to open a door to where everybody, yourself, your friends, and all around about you need to come to a revival that will stir a city, amen, and turn that city into a place of joy. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. But it takes some of us to come to the place, Lord, amen, it's my story. Do I walk away or did I come back? And I know God's will is always that you come back. I know that God's will is that you do it His way. Amen. Let us all stand. The apostles had a good time because when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, They returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. There's got to be something in our lives, and it's there. It is the Holy Ghost. It is not only the Holy Ghost, but us being sincere about it. It's also for us as a church to realize that if somebody comes in, amen, and they've been the biggest car salesperson in all of North Illinois, we're not back saying, well, he just wants to be seen. I saw a man come into this church one night, said about right there where Sister Connie is, pulled out a wad of money, about $1,000, counted it out like this. He didn't go down there like this and say, I know that's the money. He wanted to be seen. And so he wanted to give that offering to be seen. You don't show it off. You don't lift your hands because you want to show. You don't bow your knees because you want to do a show. You need a little bit of magic in your life. I'm just going to do something to your Lord to get me by. But it's not about magic. It's about commitment. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's about the gospel. It's about repenting and being baptized and being filled with the Holy Ghost and doing it God's way. And it doesn't cost you a thing that way. This man was willing to give up his life, amen, this Simon, amen, and his money, amen, just to have this experience when we know, when maybe he did find out that he could still get it because God could grant him repentance. Did God? I don't know. It's just left there a question for all of those of us that don't need to see the final results. He needed for us to make up our own mind. I've got to give it all. I've got to be right with God. Somebody might criticize me if I get up here. You know, you're a real good singer. You don't have to worry about anybody criticizing for you being a good singer except me and Sister Doris, because we can't sing. But you need to seek after God with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands and worship Him again. Hallelujah. If you want to come to the altar, you can come and gather around the altar. Lord, hallelujah. I want to do what I do because I love you. I want there to be a spirit, God, that emanates from me that can convince somebody that this is just what I want to do. This is how I want to live. This is how I want to talk. This is what I want to stay away from as far as the world is concerned, and come and embrace the body of Christ and the church of God and get in a community that is full of joy and full of righteousness and full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the world can see really what it's all about, God, and use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Save me.
first heard of Pentecost, I thought it was a shame that such an holy teaching should be preached in Jesus' name. Some were shouting hallelujah, some were prostrate on the floor, some were running in the spirit from the pulpit to the door. That it's real, it's real, I know it's real. This Pentecost so blessed, and I know it's real. It's real, it's real, I know it's real. It's the Pentecost so blessed, and I know it's real.
So I stayed a little longer, wondering what my folks would say, for I knew they did not like them of that Pentecostal way. I started to the altar with a hunger in my soul. I did not care who saw me, for the Spirit told me go.
It's real, it's real, I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real. It's real, it's real, I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real.
Yes,
it's real, it's real, I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real. It's real, it's real, I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real.
Praise the Lord, yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
And today is the day that mighty God reveals himself to us through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There was a day it was just Christ, and we have that same record, but today he lives in us through the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, warned his disciples. He said, I want you to understand that right now I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. That's why it's important to understand that the God, amen. I about flipped my wig the other day. I was reading in a book that was a history book about Christianity and the place of U.S. history and going back to the frontier days. And one of the guys just quoted a strong oneness scripture and made me realize that a lot of the people that were Puritans, amen, were probably not apostolic, but they had an experience with God that was very, very, very strong. Quakers, very strong relationship with God. Amen. And it's the thing that always brings revival. When man looks back and realizes, you know what, I've been slipping, 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 slipping. It's time for me to get back up and be where God wants me to be in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Amen. See you all tonight.
Leadership.